Johnson. PBRRG had recommended that the city treasurer be the chair of this committee. However, some of you think otherwise. I would like to present these points for your consideration. I have read the state of California's description of the job of the city treasurer, which I think Desiree just quoted. To me, the state clearly bestows upon the city treasurer the authority to choose her people or committee in performing the oversight work of the finance advisor. Since the city treasurer's job is the same as the job of a CFO in a corporation, there is no rule anywhere that says the city treasurer cannot be a member or the chairperson of a finance committee. However, if you feel uncomfortable and should decide to have her neither as a chair nor a member of the committee, I strongly urge you to at least make her the non-voting member of the committee. This way she can still serve the city with her expertise. In my opinion, by not allowing the treasurer to be the chair or member of this committee, you are actually taking away the authority that is the state of California and the voter of PBE have bestowed upon her. I do strongly disagree that the chairperson of this committee be named by the mayor alone, without the consideration and agreement of other members of the council. This is what our PB requires. That all appointees to the committee should act at the direction of the whole or the majority of the city council and not upon the request or direction of an individual member of the council. Once the committee has been established, perhaps the chair and vice chair can be selected through volunteering or nomination by the committee members themselves.
Thank you, Ms. Ramsey. Did we get everyone? All right, let's close the public hearing on that and bring it back to council. Questions for staff before we talk about this?
I just had a question about the IFAD recommendation. Is it more a concern of the documents that are generated by the committee versus documents that are received by them?
I wouldn't use the word concern. The interest in having an IPAD primarily is because the information the city generates for committees would be voluminous. And we implemented them for the council and the planning commission to save paper and save time. So that's the first reason is the addition of the distribution of materials to the committee.
But isn't most of the materials, many of the materials, majority maybe, that the committee would use already on our website?
I don't know. And without the committee being assembled to tell us what they're going to do, the committee's going to, I anticipate, is going to work fairly independent of the city council. And unless the scope is very specific, they may be asking for reports on all different things, which means that we would have to generate those reports. So if it is limited to the budget and it's limited to the CAFR, yes, those are all online. But if they're going to ask for a report that explains where the money comes and goes in the police department, and we have to create a new report like that, or different analysis, with different columns and different trends and so forth, those end up taking not just time, but right. paper to create.
Okay. Do the traffic and safety and parklands have iPads?
Not yet. We're aiming to do that. The traffic safety doesn't actually get that much paper generally. The parklands does with its applications. We had anticipated that iPads for them, but the budget worked around.
The investment committee does not have iPads.
I agree.
Okay.
Thank you.
Does the treasurer have an iPad?
No, she does not.
Oh, that's it.
Can you believe that?
The description of the RPB Advisory Committee and the staff report, is that per their ordinance?
came from their website.
Okay, so that is not how it's stated in their ordinance.
I would have to check the ordinance, but we went off their website.
Okay, and in previous staff reports, you had compared other cities that have had financial advisory committees. In any of those cities, was there an elected official as a member of any of those finance advisory committees?
My recollection is no.
Okay. Of those other cities, did they have an official treasurer, an elected position, or not?
I did not ask, so I don't know. And just from my knowledge of cities, it's scattered whether there are elected treasurers or appointed treasurers. And in some cases, treasurers in cities may be the finance director.
Okay.
So it varies across the state from my knowledge.
And in any of those cities, was there a council member that was also a part of the finance advisory committee?
Not to my recollection.
So no elected?
But I don't remember. I didn't know that in front of me.
Well, I looked up several too, just on my own, and that's. There are two different models, really. There's sort of the wholly independent committee that's made up of citizens with or without financial expertise, and then there's the subcommittee or ad hoc committee model, where there's typically two council members and then three residents, and they form the finance committee.
Oh, so there are
that's,
some.
That's what I saw, those two models.
So the city council, but nothing with the treasurer?
No, I didn't see anything with the treasurer.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Other questions? But well, we've got a big task in front of us that city manager suggested a fair amount of direction that they would like to give, but I guess there is a...
And just to clarify, the mission statement is in the resolution in Rancho Palos Verdes. It's section one of their resolution that established the committee.
Oh, okay. Does that mean part of their official ordinance, or is it just...
Let's see.
The
internet is an amazing thing.
It's way that way.
Your iPhone's better than my iPhone. Right.
It was on their website if I can get credit for that. I would say we've got a lot of ground to cover in terms of giving staff direction on this, but obviously the threshold question is how we're going to constitute this committee, whether it's going to be a citizens committee, to me meaning citizens, or whether it's going to be something else, I guess, closer to ad hoc committee. I guess we should take comments on that. I obviously, well, I will say that I favor the pure citizens committee for a number of reasons, but I have to give everybody a chance to weigh in.
Well, one thing I think we can all agree upon, which is probably the only thing. There are going to be five members.
Okay.
So there are five members.
Five members. I like the quarterly meetings.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Quarterly meetings.
Yeah.
Okay.
And in addition to quarterly, I think we need to leave a little bit of wiggle room just in case something comes up unexpectedly, that if we have to have another meeting, if we say purely quarterly, I think that binds our
quarterly, unless requested by the council or something like that, right?
Right. Yeah. I totally agree with the mayor. I think this has to be a purely independent committee. I don't think any one of us should be part of it. I do agree with the people who have spoken that I think Victoria should at least be on the committee. She doesn't have to chair the committee. But she could at least be on the committee. And I think that may assuage certain concerns of other members of the council, that she not be necessarily the chair. But I think if we don't make her part of the committee, I think we're doing a disservice to the people that elected her. And that's really why this committee is being formed. So I'd like to hear it. Is about the fact of at least having Victoria on the committee. And before we go on, don't take any of this personally, right?
Yeah.
We apologize 80 times last time.
Because we all love you according to the
minutes of the last meeting. Yes.
us.
Yeah, so.
Thank you.
Apologies in advance for anything that's that might be misstated here.
And that's a really important point, because for me, making policy isn't about addressing a particular person, it's about addressing things for the future, and whoever is in that particular role. So I'm thinking about the member. I like Ms. Ramsey's idea about her being the non-voting member, however. I could perhaps have
that. I think I'm in line with that. The goal here is to assemble the most objective, neutral, and independent committee as possible. And while an elected official's presence on this committee might bring some added value, I think the elected official status as a voting member might give the appearance of compromising the objectivity or neutrality of the committee. So I'm somewhere in between having the treasurer be an ex officio non-voting member and being a member but not the chair. But I think at this point in time, I would lean towards the former.
Yeah, in my opinion, I don't think we respectfully should have any elected official on a citizen's committee. I just don't think it's good to governance. You know, that's the issue. And everybody loves Victoria, but this is an elected position that people can come to this with particular agendas, and they have, and they can certainly do so in the future. And you don't have to have Victoria's qualifications to run for this office. In fact, you don't have to have any particular qualification that I'm aware of to be treasurer. So for us to take a position that the treasurer should automatically be a member of this committee is just not a good idea. The other thing that sway or concerns me about having any elected official on this is it creates a separate power center that is potentially in opposition to the council. I mean, not that we can't take other people's feedback and say we disagree, but one of our residents came up and said, what could possibly go wrong with having a citizens committee and getting a bunch of smart people together and giving advice to the city council? And the only thing I can think of that would go wrong would be that we would create this other group that would have different opinions, and every time the city council says we're going to do this, the committee says, no, you can't afford to do that. And that committee, if it includes another elected official with perhaps a different agenda, it's so hard to, you know, it's governance is really hard. So if we're going to create different power centers, and but Councilmember King said the reason you initially didn't want to have a committee was because it's our job to do the budget. So if you give away that budgeting authority in some respects to another elected official, you've created like a whole different place where budget decisions might have to be made or might initially be made. And then you've got the city staff who have to figure out, well, am I going to try to please the treasurer, or am I going to try to please the city council on this one? And it's not, am I going to please Victoria or Jim and Sandy, it's going to be somebody else. But you've got these sort of divided loyalties that whoever's our city manager, whoever staff is, they're going to have to start figuring that out. So take one step back and just think about the governance. You've got, it's not Sandy and it's not any of us, but you've got some treasurer who may not be in any way qualified talking to somebody, and you've got a different group of city council members, and you get into this political battle, and when somebody, whomever doesn't support what the council does, is going to run to that treasurer-centered committee and say, well, you see, the city council's wrong, and here's this elected official. Like, what could go wrong? We could politicize this. That's what could go wrong. So that's why I don't think we should have any elected official on this committee, and it's not about Victoria. It's about governance for me. That's my two cents.
I agree to not have an elected official on the committee, and not even as a non-voting member, because having an elected official, whether or not you vote or not, there's weight in their words. So what I would like to recommend is when we do the interview process, to include the city treasurer so she can have input, and then when we do and then select the five members, you know, she can weigh in or the city treasurer can weigh in if that's okay. So then I think it kind of bridges the gap. And she, I know, highly qualified, she can help us select somebody or five people that are highly qualified to fill in the position.
I think that's a good idea to involve the treasurer in the selection process. But knowing Ms. Lucy herself and her commitment to the city and its finances, I think that she would want to attend all of the finance advisory committee meetings on a going forward basis. So any good treasurer would. So I think that her continued presence and involvement with that committee is, in my opinion, imperative. It's just the idea of having an elected official, be it a treasurer or a city council member, on that type of a committee who may or may not have an agenda, I think that really just detracts from the neutrality of it and the independence of it. So I think the ex officio idea that Ms. Ramsey had suggested is a good one. Taking it to the next step about who might chair the committee, my opinion on that would be also that perhaps that would be best left as a council decision as a whole, rather than individual mayor decision, respectfully.
I think in truth, it always is. I mean, the mayor may make a phone call, but I don't think, in my experience, it would be in various sides of that decision. I've never experienced an instance where the mayor was making a chairman's choice that would not be popular with the other council members.
And we could certainly give public input to the mayor. We could talk about it then.
I think there are all kinds of input, and you will soon.
Yeah. I was thinking about Ms. Ramsey's suggestion, and I certainly don't want us to undermine ourselves in creating this committee by imposing too many rules on it and making it too far afield. But I'm persuaded by the mayor's comments in thinking in the future and thinking about people who have discussed wanting to be treasurer perhaps in the past and some of the things that could happen if there was a person in that role who was not so qualified and not so careful and not so mindful and had a particular agenda that was diametrically opposed to the council, and just the future conflicts that could create. Certainly the meetings would be public, and I have no doubt the treasurer would be there and be able to give input. But I think for it to be truly independent, it needs to be independent residents. And I think we have a number of qualified residents. You know, to answer the question that the city treasurer came in with a mandate and that's what the city wants, and she got 60% of the vote. Well, actually, Measure D got 60% of the vote as well. So, and that was not seen as a mandate. But I think that sort of begs the question even more, that this shouldn't be a political thing. This should be a governance thing. And you shouldn't put somebody on there for political reasons. I want this to be just a policy governance issue for now and for the future.
I mean, that's my concern. The next treasurer may get an even higher vote and may say, I have a clear mandate, and my mandate is more important than the council's mandate. And it's not that I'm trying to hold on to power for the council. It's just ultimately the buck's got to stop somewhere. You've got to have one decision-making group, and you've got to have clear directions to staff.
And even Ms. Myers talked about the significance of checks and balances, and I think by having the treasurer on that committee, it does upset what I think is a pretty effective system of checks and balances at this point.
I feel that it's you have a good situation here, but you always have to think about the precedent you're setting if you're going to create a new circumstance for the
treasurer. See, I have a little bit of a different view. We've already established that certain cities have committees of purely residents.
Yes.
Plus, we've already established that cities have financial advisory committees that actually have members of the city council.
Correct.
And those cities function.
Correct.
And they do their job. I see having Victoria on this is sort of in between. In other words, why do we always have to do what somebody else does? Why can't we think out of the box sometimes and say, look, if it works for certain cities one way, works for certain cities the other way, why don't we do something in the middle? What is the negative in that? I think the council may be catastrophizing here a little bit. And for those people who are not familiar with that term, it's a term that describes looking at the worst possible outcome that can occur as a result of an action. And I don't think we need to catastrophize here. We're taking an elected official, and remember, this is for the people. This isn't for us. This is to include the people. And the people elected Victoria. Okay? So I see a hybrid of the two systems that are already in place in different cities as the ideal solution. Now, she's going to have four other members of that committee that will be able to outvote her. She can have one, she just has one vote.
Couldn't disagree more, Sandy. It's about governance. I'm not catastrophizing anything, and I think the very example you raised, I think fits the argument nicely. It's either independent citizen advisory, or it's something that's very tied to the city council. So you're not creating a second power center and all the confusion. I don't think it's catastrophizing. I think it's easily foreseeable that if you have elected people on here with agendas, that's going to sway the direction of this committee, and you've got a second very strong set of opinions and opinions that will be cited as authoritative by our residents. I mean, I think we have such issues in our city, we don't need to politicize something else. I mean, I like the idea of the advisory committee. I like, personally, obviously, just having our residents. There's so many qualified residents that can do this. If you take the elected official, it's going to politicize this thing. That citizen has said, what can go wrong? This is what can go wrong. We can have politics get in the middle of this thing. And that's what I think
but
is about.
But you see, the city council is still going to pick a committee. So how can you separate the politicizing of this committee if the city council is picking this committee? So, I mean, you're kidding yourself if you think that the community is going to think that by us picking the committee, it is therefore not a political appointment.
I think, though, it's going to be an appointment of residents that come forward, not necessarily with an agenda, or at least one that we can.
But you're assuming she has an agenda?
I'm assuming that elected officials do, and I'm assuming that future elected officials.
Well, why do you assume that? I don't have an agenda.
Again, I think it's more the unintended consequences. Yes,
yeah.
Everybody here, you know, we would be fine with that, but we don't know what's going to happen in 2 years and 4 years. We just don't know.
We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We could all be dead tomorrow. I mean, if you
then wouldn't we know about having spent so much time?
That's not where I would want to spend my last night, actually.
No, but the point is that people are assuming things that are going to happen in the future. That none of us have any idea what is going to happen.
Well, we don't.
Exactly. But
I think good governance is actually looking into the unintended consequences that might happen and looking into the bad parts that could happen and weighing all the options. I think we can't have just four voting members. We have to have a tiebreaker.
Of course.
Right? So that kind of doesn't work out having her as a non-voting member. As a sixth, well, she can sit down there and still have her input. And then we would have five people on the advisory group and give advice to the council. I think that actually works out because she is still here. It's not like she can't attend the meetings. So that would be the policy that we set forth, is that we would require her to, or require the city treasurer to attend the meetings. We would have five people sitting up here, and so she's part of the meeting as well.
Is it my turn to chime in?
Sure, of course.
Oh, yes, please go ahead.
Okay, so, so it's interesting perspectives, definitely. So as the committee unfold, you know, it's kind of the concept of the committee unfolded over the last eight or 10 months, probably before that. You know, certainly I expected to chair the committee, as I chair the investment committee, me, the city treasurer. Just talking about also city treasurer. You know, remember too that before we even had this last election, the city council decided to create an investment committee that the treasurer would chair before the new treasurer had even been elected, or, you know, it's kind of weird to form a committee for someone that they didn't even have input into the committee. Odd, but okay. And then when I came in, I couldn't believe there wasn't a finance committee or finance and budget committee. Budget, really, because we don't finance anything. But, you know, and I thought, oh, okay, we need that kind of committee, and then the treasurer should chair that too. So, I mean, you guys, you raise good points, but remember that the treasurer doesn't have a vote. I don't have a vote when I sit over here. If I wanted to have a vote, I should have run for city council. But I sit over here. And I don't have a vote. And I know that I probably have said more at city council meetings in my 7 months than in Joe Sherwood's 8 years. For better or for worse. You know, but I can say, hey, I think this, or look at that, or I think, you know, you guys should do this. You can take it or leave it, right? You don't have to do what I say. You don't, you know, you can smile and nod and do what you want to do. But on this, you know, people, I kind of agree with a lot. I appreciate the comments that people made. I mean, the role of the city treasurer is kind of that autonomous, you know, watching, seeing what city staff is doing, seeing what city council is doing, and kind of advise or kind of opine on what's happening. It's kind of a nice spot to sit without a vote, because no one's coming after me saying, oh, you got to vote on this or got to vote on that. I hear what you're saying, Jim, about, and all of you, about the chairman. I mean, I can probably wrap my head around where, you know, that in the future you want this to work for now, and you want it to work in the future. But the treasurer's got to be on the committee. I mean, that just doesn't make sense that the treasurer would not be on the committee. I mean, for me, you know, I think also that there's a very specific set of things that I think need looking at, and that the city council could use some advice on. You know, the five members of the committee, I think, went back to maybe we're on the hybrid model. You know, five members of the committee that come in, normal, apply, interview, blah, 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 five people go on. And then the city treasurer as an ex officio non-voting member of the committee. I think that, because that sits off to the side. You talk about politicizing. I mean, nobody has a vote. It's an advisory committee. So the committee's going to come and say, hey, we think you should do this, and council can take it or leave it. What I do feel strongly about is that I think it's very inappropriate for the city council to appoint the chairman. Because really, where this grew, and there's, you know, comments tonight and the comments over the past few months, is that maybe a lack of confidence of the way money has been spent and the way staff has overseen the spending of money in the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, and a lack of confidence that the city council has been watching the staff spend the money. So if the city council appoints the chairman, the city council is appointing the person who's supposed to be watching them. Not that it's oversight, but, you know, that, talk about checks and balances, that to me goes out the window. So I think you can have a committee of five people, normal application process. The five people can vote on their chairman, and then the treasurer as an ex officio non-voting. I'd like you to kind of talk about that, because I have, that seems to me a bare minimum of the treasurer's role in the committee.
Respectfully, Victoria, I mean, that isn't the treasurer's role. I mean, the treasurer's role is described as reviewing the investments of the city, not.
That's what it says on our website. That is not the role of a city treasurer in the state of California. That's what somebody, a job description, put on our website.
That's, our treasurer has always had that set of responsibilities. if we're going to have a discussion of expanding the role of the treasurer, it ought to not be done in the context of this. We ought to have a role. Do we need a financial, that's a discussion, do we need a financial oversight person? We need, and that's really talking about moving the center of the position of the judgment void of the council into one person that our staff would then be responsible to two different bodies. And I think that's bad. At the end of the day, it's just bad government. It's not about you, it's not about about the desire to expand the treasurer's role. It's just bad governance to have two different centers of authority over something as important as budget. You know, you're right. It's the council that has to make these budget decisions.
Right.
And if you've got some other, if you have an elected official telling you in reports and things that this committee turns out, you're making bad decisions, you're not spending the money right, that's going to be a very bad situation. Now, what can go wrong with the resident manager? What can go wrong is we'll just mess this up and make it a very political thing. And then we'll end up having to get rid of the committee. I mean, to me, it's a mess to have the treasurer on there at all. And I think if we're going to expand the role of the treasurer, you know, let's put that on the agenda and have a very specific discussion. Like, do we need somebody to watch over this group? That seems to be, that's the underlying thing. Are we not able to budget properly? Are we so, is the council unable to do its job as managers of budget?
Well,
if we are, we should, you know, there's elections and I'm not sure that will be changed.
Right. I just think you referenced more than once about, you know, this two, circles of power, and I keep trying to think about what that means and how, what, you know, what that actually means in practicality. But I think this is how it feels to me, because I've definitely approached the city council city treasurer role differently than people in the past, because I think that's what was needed at the time that we were having an election for a new person. We hadn't had elected a city treasurer in probably 20 years. And that's what was needed, and that's what's needed now. I think what you're trying to do, and this is how it feels to me, is that you're trying to make sure that, I think I've dug into things in the last 8 or 10 months that city treasurers have not, in this city, have not done before. And it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me, because it's new. But it seems to me like maybe you're trying to make sure, you're saying you don't want to create two centers of power. I think you're trying to negate what the treasurer can do. And that's I think that's a danger, because it is an elected, this is an appointed job, this is an elected job. And so back to creating a committee that's supposed to do something that the residents want, and then you turning around, I think you're politicizing it and turning it around into something that I think, I can't say Sandy's word because I can't catastrophize it, but it's just, I think you're turning this around to yet another committee. When people, the residents, have asked for something and some oversight, the city council is going to flip it around into something that isn't what the residents want, and it's rigged for the benefit of the city council.
Well, no, but I think you've just said it 5 times in your statement. You want oversight. You want oversight over the city budget. That responsibility belongs to the city council. If you want to oversee the budget, you're right. I mean, you should. The budget has to be overseen, but this is the body that does it. It's not the treasurer. And if you want to be on this committee and oversee the budget, and I don't think that's what we agreed on. We this council, I heard us talking about an advisory committee, not an oversight committee.
Right.
But I think you very much are saying and have said, and I think that was your political stance, that we need oversight. That's a really different discussion than we're going to have with a financial advisory committee. That's like somebody's got to supervise this group, and I don't really think we're there yet. At least that's, I'm not ready to create a supervisor or an oversight committee. That's not what I think we should be doing. That's what you're arguing. That's literally what you're arguing. We want to have your interactions with the city manager, and then we'll have our interactions with the city manager, and he'll have to figure out what to do next. That's not good governance.
Where did this come from?
We don't have to accept any pension.
But the staff has got to pay it. No, you're right. We don't. But we don't accept it. And then those folks don't have a plan of budget without that much more ammunition about what's wrong with the budget, and or that much more ammunition to say that something's wrong with the budget. And it's just, they consider the possibility, but they may be wrong. And so you've created this push and pull that doesn't need to be there. What can go wrong? What can go wrong here is we politicize this thing. We're agreeing to get advice from our citizens. We're agreeing to bring residents in to advise us. But are we going to set up a separate power structure? That's what you're talking about. I'm really against having any elected official on this. And when it's not Victoria, but it's some other folks you might think about, it's not going to, you know, it's not going to be good governance. It's not going to make it appear that anybody knows how to run the city. It's the game that can't shoot straight. This treasurer says this, and the city manager says that, and the council says this. To me, it's not a good situation.
Can we?
Your job's to bring us back.
Let's go back.
Yeah, where are we? I think we all know our positions. We are perhaps too well.
Right.
How forward?
Two things. One, I wanted to get the city attorney's input on city treasurer's role per our state government code and per our city government code. And I think we need to go back into actually creating the committee instead of talking about the chairperson who's going to chair it. Because I think by defining the role of the committee or the roles of the committee, it might become more clear of who can or should or should not or can or cannot be on committee. Let's go back to that.
I do like that.
Thanks.
Mayor Pro Tem Peterson, members of the council. The role of the city treasurer is prescribed by state law. It's found in code section 41,000 at sec. The city treasurer shall receive and safe and keep all money. The city treasurer shall comply with all laws governing the deposit and securing of public funds and the handling of trust funds. The city treasurer shall pay out money only on warrants signed legally by legally designated persons. At least once a month, the city treasurer shall submit to the city clerk written reports and accountings of all receipts, disbursements, and fund balances. City treasurer shall perform such duties relative to the collection of city taxes and license fees as are prescribed by ordinance. And the city treasurer may appoint deputies for whose acts he and his bondsmen are responsible for. City treasurer is required to have a bond for state law. That deals with that. Those are the specific roles that are assigned to the city treasurer per state law. Your code does not address the city treasurer as far as I know. It does deal with the finance director, but not the city treasurer.
Thank you. There's nothing in that description about budgeting or oversight or anything else. That's just not what an elected treasurer does, and it's never perhaps to do.
When the code is that express, is that setting a floor or a ceiling?
I don't think it's setting either. I think it's specifically prescribing the duties of the city treasurer.
Okay.
I guess you could take that as a ceiling.
Effectively, we've adopted that by not having this separate ordinance that describes it in more detail.
Correct.
That's our description of the treasurer's role.
I mean, you could read some of these broadly to incorporate an expansion of those duties, but again, it's pretty specific as to what the duties of the city treasurer are per state law.
But it seems as if it would be up to the local governments to decide to broaden that role or to. I don't know. It sounds to me that that's a floor minimum as far as what the treasurer needs to do, and that is up to the localities whether they want to expand that or not.
The city council could, by ordinance, adopt additional rules and duties for your elected
okay.
city treasurer or for your finance director.
But they need to do that at a minimum, right?
Yeah, correct.
Perfect.
Why don't we talk about what we'd like the committee to do?
Good.
We just go down the list.
I think it should be advisory.
Agreed.
Yes.
Agreed.
And what would the role be in reference to the financial and budget report? So our staff is preparing. Do we want review? Do we want post preparation review report? How do we see this committee helping us?
There's certainly been a suggestion from those who are interested in this that it conduct quarterly budget reviews at the time it meets.
That would be a review to see if we were on budget?
Yes.
So is this reconciliation of budgeting and actual expenses then? How the council is interpreting it?
That's how I would interpret it.
Okay. Because if that's the case, I would be in favor of the defense, so I wanted to
I would be fine with that. I mean, I think we generally get that information and know where we are for the budget, but if.
And for clarification, are you talking about just looking at line items to say that we're within line items or that we're within the fund? Or are you actually talking contracts? Because I think it begs the question of again, what does it mean in terms of connecting the planned expenditure with the actual expenditure?
Is it a question of level of detail?
Exactly.
Okay.
Within the authority given to the city manager, we are within budget if we stay within the fund totals. We do everything we can to stay within the department totals. And then we do everything we can to stay within the sub component. But there are times where you take one and move it into the other because things right. happen.
At what level of detail is available already on a quarterly basis?
I'm sorry, can you repeat?
What level of detail is available already on a quarterly basis without creating a new report?
That would be at a departmental level. So in terms of our budgetary compliance is at the fund level from a legal perspective. We generally produce reports at the departmental level for all departments. And then we run those monthly, quarterly, semi-annually, as well as annually.
Okay. Well, then my suggestion would be for them to review the department reports. I assume if there's some question that there looks like there's a discrepancy, the committee would have the authority to inquire.
Would make sense.
And within those quarterly reports, there are line item expenses, right? So
correct.
That level of detail would be helpful.
Correct. It would. So typically at a departmental level, you're looking at your cost structure from primarily three components. You're looking at salaries, fringe benefits, and what we call supplies and services, which include professional services, contracts, other miscellaneous types of costs, utilities, et cetera. So when we, again, coming back full circle, budgetary compliance is at the fund level, not at the department level. We just provide departmental expenditure reports. So I want to be kind of clear on that. So that's primarily what we do. And then when we have different departments, they may request certain specific information, why is something running too high or low or whatever, we provide granular detail.
Okay. And just in practice, if the finance advisory committee had questions about a line item, would they go to you or would they go to the department head? Or is that something that you
well,
to discuss?
Well, we usually don't have committee members going to specific
right.
employees, so I imagine
that's what begs the question about to me,
right.
the iPads. Back, we don't control what the committee is going on to do, so they can be asking for why are benefits running higher, or why is workers' comp running higher,
right.
and so forth. So we start generating new reports. So I know that's another discussion.
I understand.
But I would say that we would designate a staff person as the support. We do that with all our committees. I'm not sure if it would be me or the finance director in this case. We determine that between us. And that would be the point person for any information that the committee as a whole decides, because we would work for the majority of the committee, not an individual. So if the committee wanted a report on something, I'd do the majority.
But you would have no filtration on this. In other words, whatever came to you would come to us.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, in other words, if they're asking for something, a number, will that number come directly from you to us without any change by city staff?
Who's us then?
Excuse me?
When you say come from you to us, are you talking to the council?
The council.
So let me go back to the context of the committee. When we have the Planning Commission, Traffic Safety, and Parklands, it's an application or a situation that causes them to meet and resolve something. We come to council at the next subsequent meeting, it's on your consent agenda, if you're receiving a file, or if it's advisory,
you'll never get action,
and you make a decision. This committee, I'm not clear that there's any decisions they're making, so the protocol needs to be developed in terms of what you'd expect to come to you and when. If we are going to prepare information and move on it also, we make duplicate copies and we can just provide it to you. If you're expecting to see it at your next meeting after their meeting, it could be an agenda item. All that needs to be worked out because it's not like the other committees where there's an application and a review and a decision and an action to be formed.
So it's understood then, which is another sort of simplistic thing, this committee will be the same as any other committee that the city has that has an advisory role, same as the traffic committee, for example.
It's exactly the same as advisory, but the terms are different.
No, of course.
Because they're not making any decisions, where the traffic is going to make recommendations.
But they would have an established time and established
yes.
situation just as
and perhaps there will be recommendations that come out of yes. each of their meetings that would be presented to us. And
that's right.
Act on
them. Yeah, exactly.
I would also like the committee to have some role in long range planning, forecasting.
In that regard, Jennifer, I've always felt we needed a longer budget forecast. Mm-hmm. 2 years is inadequate. I think the advisory committee, I'll be very surprised if they don't come up with a 5-year recommendation, and I certainly would be in favor of that.
I wouldn't agree with you, thank you. I think that role in financial planning, particularly the long-range planning, would be good. There was also, in the Rancho PV description, the overview of their committee is that the committee would make recommendations to the council about items that they would, you know, and I like that suggestion.
And I'd be comfortable having that be one of the topics of one of their first meetings of what areas they would like to look at in particular, as opposed to just saying, you know, 5-year plan, maybe looking at capital improvements, looking at
when we get all these smart people together, they may have a better idea than we do about what
right, exactly.
Where we can best be advised. So I would be wide open to the committee is suggest shall advise the city council regarding the city's financial conditions and matters that they should report on. Recommend specific areas for review. I think that would be helpful.
Everybody always seems to be concerned about unfunded liabilities and pensions, so I certainly think that needs to be included. Just in terms of the terms, I don't know if we're ready to move along to that point yet, but I think we do need to have some staggering of terms in order there to ensure some continuity from one committee to the next.
My only concern is if the four-year appointment would scare off some people.
Right.
Yes.
typically, people renew their 2-year term very frequently.
Right.
So, I mean, we could have a short term to start March. It's March 18 to June 19 for, let's say, 2 members, and then to June 20 for 3 members, or vice versa, however you want to do it.
And then after that,
and then to be renewable, right. Yeah. Right.
But keep it to a 2-year
right. terms.
I kind of like that it's consistent with all our other committees. Mm-hmm. We served on the Planning Commission for too long, but 6 to 8 years, 2 years yeah. at a time. So I think if someone was finding on the
yes.
committee and was also succeeding on the committee, we would certainly ask them to come back.
Yes.
I think we might have skipped over it as far as the purpose, just to close the loop on this one subject, about the policies and the day-to-day operations. It seems as if the policies, as far as just that generally, that seems that would be within the scope of what we do as a council. And day-to-day operations, if this committee is going to be meeting on a quarterly basis, I don't know how effective that would actually be for them to regulate or oversee the day-to-day operations of the city.
Agreed.
The other thing we should discuss, I think, is the fact that the committee will not know audit.
Want to propose a sunset for this committee?
I would suggest no.
We could certainly calendar a date. I mean, it may not be us, but to talk about it in 4 years.
I'm neither here nor there about this, actually. I think that in practice, you know, every committee is sort of under review as far as their efficacy. So, if we have a formal sunset date to conduct a formal review, then that's fine. But if we don't, then that's fine too.
Yeah.
What kind of a formal review without a sunset?
Right. I think it makes it too different to have a sunset.
Okay. I'm fine with that. Okay.
Now, I wonder if we need to add something in there. If someone on the financial committee appears to be doing something they shouldn't be doing. In other words, clearly the person has to be ethical, which is hard to determine when you're just talking to somebody for 5 or 10 minutes.
But we have all those conflict of interest requirements for all our committee members.
Yeah. I think it has to be extraordinarily important that they be independent. We not bother while they're doing. And that it has to be open. It just has to be open and transparent.
To that end, I'm sorry, did you finish?
Yeah.
Okay. To that end, I think that the quote unquote guiding principles on page 2 of the PBRRG recommendations, conduct, independence, and transparency, those are all things that I think we should adopt. I don't know if we need to in a formal sense, but certainly those standards should apply to this committee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think to your term, if somebody's not working out well or really contributing, then there's an opportunity for us to review their performance.
Should we establish a time to do that, in other words?
To do the review, the first review?
Yeah.
2 years.
It's with all the commissions and committees. Okay. You know, everybody, even if you've been on there for too long, you still have to come in there.
To clarify, the conflict of interest, we're talking about the FPPC Economic Interest Form 700?
That's what I was talking about, yes.
And then we'd have to fill that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
The same form that we fill out on city council, we fill out for the commissions and committee. And disclose what conflicts you might have. Terms, committee begin. Thoughts about how quickly we can be up and running. Staff suggested March.
We can publicize before the end. Well, let's see. We need to get. Can we publicize interviews before we have the resolution? Maybe we should look at the city attorney for that.
It would be difficult to do, but it could be done. I mean, it's difficult to interview for a committee that has.
I'm just saying publicize, not saying.
Oh, publicize, absolutely.
We need the. I understand we need the resolution in effect before we actually interview, but could we?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So, depending on what direction we get tonight, I'm not sure we can turn it around for the November 28th meeting because it's a short week for that agenda.
Of course.
But we could potentially have an ordinance for introduction and first reading at the December 10th meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're in the holiday season, but it can be advertised for the next meeting in January when you actually adopt it in second reading.
Right.
It really doesn't come into effect for 30 days until after that. You can finish the
Okay, so, okay.
Oh, okay. So that's about as quick as we could do it, just given the constraints, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's pending everybody's schedule for scheduling interviews after the first meeting.
Oh, I remember, that was challenging, wasn't it?
So, if I can return to the elephant in the room.
Please.
Should we have our city treasurer be interviewed by us?
I'm sorry, be what?
Should Victoria be one of the interviewees? Or can she be?
I'd rather have her as an interviewer than an
admirer. Actually, I would too. I'm not trying to limit Victoria, but I've said all I can say about the governance issue.
And I do like the ex officio seat.
Yeah, I would certainly want to have her as an interviewer. And I still think that the goal here is to assemble the most objective, neutral, and independent committee as possible. So I think that any good treasurer would want to participate in these meetings, and certainly Ms. Losey, being a good treasurer, should bring her added value to the committee, but I think in the capacity as a non-voting ex officio member.
I think I'm on the record with a different view.
I probably would have her attend, but I wouldn't make it a formal membership.
Sandy, you would be?
You would have her as a...
You would have
I would have her on the committee.
Yeah.
So being an ex officio is a no-brainer. That's the best we can do. That's the best we can do. Because basically what the new committee is going to be doing is they're going to be reinventing the wheel. They're going to be turning to Victoria with all of her.
It depends on who we get.
Yeah. Well, anyone. I mean, if you can name someone in the community that knows as much as Victoria about the runnings of the city, I can't imagine. So there will be a learning curve here.
I think when anyone starts, including our treasurer, there's a learning curve.
All right, where are we?
I don't think we got the ex officio sorted out. I would not include the treasurer on the committee. Sandy, I would, starting the chair on down. So
I would not.
Would not include. You're ex officio.
Yeah, ex officio.
Yes. So you're ex officio. So we have three ex officios and two. When we get to I guess we're probably not going to have a motion on this, we're just going to continue to give direction to council on this. It sounds like in this format.
But it sounds like
if we were to have an ordinance, an ordinance would include explicitly.
I think out of this we have enough to draft an ordinance for introduction before it's introduced at the meeting. You will discuss it at a public hearing and
right.
Also make changes.
Right.
Before it's actually used. It's so change it after 10 days, and just do the whole process.
Just the one loose end that we didn't talk about is the chair appointment, and I would just have it as we do all our other committees.
And I can add, actually, that's in the municipal code.
Oh, the code says that the
code
council
says that the mayor shall appoint a chair and vice chair to each commission or committee. Officers shall be appointed for a term of 1 year. The chair shall preside at all meetings.
Right. But the mayor actually does that in consultation with the council. Right? Any experience I've ever had?
With that issue, I would also, since the treasurer is going to be assisting us with the interviews, I would also want her input as far as who an appropriate chair might be. And I would want that on record as well.
Well, did we decide that the treasurer is part of the interview process? That's
know.
Not our usual. But
I just pictured that she would attend and give input as a member of the public.
Well, I would be in favor of having her part of us interviewing.
Okay.
Because, again, she has the most expertise.
No, I think that's just, I'm sorry, I missed that.
Oh, the interview process, is that part of our code or not?
No.
No, okay.
I mean, I guess if the mayor appoints, but.
The mayor has to appoint, you may advise the other council members and get some input, but you make the appointment.
Right.
The council will vote on who is on the committee. You can include the treasurer in the interview process, but ultimately it's the council that will make the appointment.
Okay, we can, but it's the council's appointment to the committee, okay.
And that is the code.
That's in the code, yeah, we can work that through.
One question I have, for example, when I'm interviewing people to go to medical school, they have to have certain qualifications, just to get through the door. Now, do we want to establish certain qualifications to anyone that applies for this position? Or do you want to just leave it wide open to anyone who might have absolutely no expertise in this, might be a wonderful interviewer, and might, you know, thrill the pants off of us, who will get appointed with absolutely no expertise in this area?
Well, we're not going to do that, Sandy. I mean, we're going to know what their expertise is when they're going to submit resumes, and we're going to understand.
No, I'm just thinking of a way to streamline.
I think we could certainly suggest or recommend that people have experience with finance, particularly municipal finance.
Right.
And people would get the idea that some level of expertise would be helpful if not absolutely required.
So they're not wasting their time setting for the interviews, too.
Yeah, right, I think so, yeah. But I wouldn't want to disqualify somebody before they had their chance to.
Right, because you know, a lot of people are interested in this, so I want to give them a fair shot.
Exactly. Other direction you need from council?
For staff, we cannot do it with our existing staffing. So we would return to you, maybe with introduction of the ordinance, with some type of part-time allocation. Our workload is large.
Right.
We're having a hard enough time keeping up today. and if this is even meeting quarterly, and based on even the reports that I'm anticipating, we're going to need some offsetting help.
It seems to me that a lot of this material should already be available to this committee. In other words, they're not asking, well, I don't know what they'll ask for, but if they ask for the things that I expect them to ask for, which is basically how much did we spend on this, how much did we spend on that, et cetera, that should already be part of the city's work. So I think you have to be careful and saying it's going to take 7.5 hours or 8 hours, when it may take 2 hours or 1 hour. So I don't think that should be a fixed part of this committee, because I don't think it's accurate.
I don't have a way of projecting how much time sitting in a meeting it will take, and I don't know at this point what type of information they're going to request. I can tell you over the last 2 months, working with residents who are interested in helping us solve our financial problems, we've been spending tens of hours with them in groups and individually trying to explain to them how the budget works, how to read the CAFR. And you've acknowledged that it will take there will be a learning curve for the people on the committee. And there definitely will be, and it will take more than just a meeting or two to understand it before they can even get started. So
would our hope be at least somewhat that the development of this committee would maybe replace some of that resident inquiry?
Well, I don't know how we can stop the resident inquiry, so I don't know that it would replace it. We could defer people to the committee when the committee meetings take place.
Right.
But most of, there are very few people with municipal finance backgrounds, even though that might be a preferred reference. So it's still going to take time for us to go through the CAFR, explain what each of the different pages mean, interpret it, you know, explain how different numbers came about, you know, and then go through the same process with the budget. And then if there's and we do the reconciling between, you know, how the department line items line up to the budget. There will be reports that we generate. I don't know what the numbers are going to be, but I know that if it's going to take more time than we're currently providing, it will take more resources. And one more thing you didn't bring up, which I assume in this, is you're only talking expenditures and not revenues. And it's really important in my mind is this, if they're going to look at long-term forecasting, how is our revenues tracking to what our projections are and what our revenue sources are? Because when you look at gas tax, property tax, what our user fees are, you know, I can imagine, again, there's that element that they might want to look at as well. I'm building that into it. I'm assuming that's...
Not stated, but assumed.
Yeah.
And I, just to Tony's point, I mean, I don't think we can in any way understate how much staff time is going to be required on this, because almost all of our financial data, right down to every check that's been written, it's out there already. And a lot of people look at that data and come to completely erroneous conclusions about it. So if we get a committee and we just send them off by themselves and say, go figure something out, without getting staff input and without getting sort of the nuances of government accounting, we may get back a product that isn't useful.
Well, let me make a suggestion that may be agreeable to people, may not. And the most important person has to be agreeable to is Victoria. Rather than underutilizing her skills, maybe number one, she can become a liaison instead of the city calling you regarding these things. Maybe they can call her, number one. Number two, instead of assigning another staff person to do whatever the staff person has to do, if Victoria would be willing to do that, she could not only save money for the city, but maybe help. Because I really think we're underutilizing this woman.
Yeah.
Well,
Victoria's
last
like
I heard,
scared over there.
Victoria just got a promotion.
That's a lot of staff hours.
Our senior vice president over there may or may not want to do that, but respectfully, a new treasurer is not an expert in government accounting. I mean, there's a lot of nuances to it, and I think it should. The committee can find its own way, but at some point they have to start with an understanding of what capital is.
I'm just trying to.
There's another aspect.
I'd be referring some of that to the committee is a good idea.
You know, there's another aspect of this that's probably the most prevalent or the most important issue, that has to do with internal controls. You just as a general rule, you never want someone outside of certain parameters to have access to your financial system. That would just be very, very bad internal controls. No auditor would ever recommend that.
But that's what we're talking about.
We're talking about internal controls. We're talking about access to the financial system, which is an entirely different conversation. You need to have access to that to provide analysis, to provide reports. There's a lot of sense of information in there, employee records, so forth like that, generally, you don't really release that internal control process. The auditors would definitely write you up for something like that.
Well, we don't need to reinvent the wheel with this. I mean, it's working in RPP. We ought to be able to use that model in terms of the way financial data flows back and forth to the advisory committee, right? I mean,
Mr. Mayor,
with can I use that input to this? Rancho PV that spent 89 hours per year for the staff time. And at $35 an hour, that's $3,115. That's the year, not 2014 to 2015.
Thank you, Ms. Ramsey. We'll figure it all out. What else do we need to do?
So I think we have
almost out of time. How have we done in terms of
guidance? If the direction is to come back with an ordinance, we can do that. First reading introduction, we would aim for the December meeting that works with the attorney's office.
Other guidance or direction?
Videotaping? Yes.
I think we'll come back with a budget for it, because even if it's 89 hours, it's more time than we currently have. Mm-hmm. So there needs to be a set aside.
Right, and this is an inaugural effort for us, so I don't know how this